Join Donnie Football at Dino's on Thursday from 6 to 10 to kick off the start of training camp. Cool off with an ice cold Miller Lite and listen to Donnie's takes on the first day of camp. It's part of Donnie's camp tour. That's Donnie's neck of the woods out in the Greensburg area, out by Latrobe.
Donnie, it's my neck of the woods too, Austin.
That's right.
Mr. Westmoreland County.
Over in Plum. You and Donnie should tag team together and work those shows. You producing and Donnie hosting.
That'd be a wonderful time.
That'll be exciting. But is it as exciting as what's going on at PNC Park over the last couple of days? Dan Zangrilli is there in what is now a 6-0 Pirates lead. Dan, I don't know why they did this to you, but they got swept by the worst team in the American League with you on the call, and now they sweep the best team in baseball. At least they're on track to. And against the Detroit Tigers with you not on the call. Do you take any offense to that?
Well, I'm just glad they were able to flush the virus and get better, right? They were able to purge the disease.
What did you put in the water, Dan?
I don't know. Obviously a laxative because they you-know-what down their legs. So that was a bad series, but this has been a very good one. And what, Bailey Falter retired the first 11 batters that he faced, no-hitter into the fourth inning with two outs, and now he's about to throw the first pitch here of the sixth inning to Matt Vierling. So he's thrown a one-hit shutout, which is paling in comparison to what he's done so far the first three starts of July. He's looking more like the May version of Bailey Falter. And my goodness, what's gotten into Spencer Horwitz over the last three, four games? I think he's, 7 of 9 in the series with the grand slam coming in the second inning, and McCutchen with the other big swing, a vintage homer to right center. So that's where we're at here.
12 RBIs in his last eight games as well for Horwitz, crushing the ball. But you know, we've been very heavy on football today, Dan, and one thing that I wanted to get into on the show is Mitch Keller. Was last night Mitch Keller's last start as a Pirate at PNC Park? I'm continue to lean, and I'm really in the direction now where I've made up my mind. I want them to keep Mitch Keller because even though they have a ton of depth on this team with starting pitching, they would be trading from the significant top of that depth. It's Paul Skeens, and then it's Mitch Keller. And like, let's say hypothetically they figure out offense and they get into a playoff series. We don't have any known commodities to look at right now and say, if you had a three-game series, three-game wild card, sure, Skeens can go out there and automatically win you a game with a good offense. Who follows? I would rather them keep Keller, trade the bullpen arms, and use some of their farm system to acquire talent. Do you think that was Keller's last start last night?
You know, I'm gonna check the no bubble, but there's a lot of smoke around the name, and I think there's gonna be more reports coming out about other players here sooner rather than later. And you know, there's so much smoke around this team, and the general manager has been so outward in his rhetoric, and even the manager yesterday, Don Kelly, wasn't shying away or didn't use language to guard against, you know, showing their cards as to what they intend to do. But listen, this is a gamesmanship time of year. It's a big game of poker. Are they sending smoke signals? Of those smoke signals, beneath the chimney stack, where's the real fire? So that's where I'll maybe question that, call it out a little bit, and say that maybe that they just want to see what other teams are willing to give, just so they can be very active as much as they can be in the market to try to drive as much potential value. And if they do get overwhelmed, maybe they'll be compelled to act. But in this big game of poker, where in this day and age, it's much different, Austin, than 10 years ago, where everybody values their cards similarly. And what I mean by that is there's no Ivy League GMs that are able to go fleece the Hawaiian shirt, back slapping, radar gun pointing, straw hat wearing kind of general managers from the old school. Everybody's kind of got a new school mentality and purview on the players. So when everybody is valuing everybody similarly, it's much harder to get deals done. So it's a much harder era to trade in now, especially at the deadline, than it was a decade ago when the Pirates were really aggressive in adding to those 13, 14, 15 teams. So if you're going to trade Keller, and I'm with you for all of the reasons that you just laid out, and I'll throw in another, he leads baseball in quality starts. Yesterday was his 15th. I feel that if you do have to go that route to truly improve this offense very quickly and get a bona fide bat, and by the way, I'd settle for nothing less than that, be it at the deadline or in the offseason, I'm more compelled to listen and be motivated to do business with Keller in December, certainly more than I would be in July, because guess what? Who wants to, of the contenders that you're going to be dealing with, who would be vying for Keller services, who would want to subtract from that lineup? Because not only are the Pirates struggling offensively, just more extremely than other clubs are, but everybody around the league is looking for offense.
Right.
So your ask is going to be, I need a bona fide bat. Who's going to be like, yeah, here, let me subtract from my contending team to fill this void in pitching? I don't think anybody's going to want to do that.
Even a contending team that has,
December?
Like, poor starting pitching, though?
Well, but how did they get there? Was it through offense? They're solving a problem by creating another. Let's put yourself in the shoes of the contender. I don't see around the league where people have all of this offense and all of these rosters are so deep with what the Pirates' needs are, and that is bona fide, turnkey, right now, ready to be parachuted into a lineup and immediately produce. Will you get a top 100 prospect? Will you get a really promising bat? Sure, I think those are going to be made available to the Pirates, but I think you and I have discussed this item before. Why should the Pirates be in position, especially if you're going to deal Keller now, the Keller piece? You deal him. Why do you then have to take on inherent risk and a commodity you may get that could very well turn out to be a big hit, but you don't know that. But you do know that the chasm between AAA and the big leagues is so big. Example, Jack Suwinski. Example, Henry Davis.
Yeah.
Example, anybody that's had a hard time assimilating here for the Pirates. That's happening everywhere else. So why take on that unnecessary risk? That's where I sit on Keller. You got to be blown away in July. If not, keep your cards. There's no gun to your head. You can do a deal in December. That's, again, if you even want to deal Keller. And I lean towards your original argument, that's a really good one. No, don't. But again, depending on what you're able to do to try to quickly turn this thing around, that might be something that has to occur. But does it have to occur in the next 10 days? No, I don't think so.
Dan, I got about 30 seconds before we're going to go to Jeff at training camp. Did a great job with calling the game over the weekend. You had a broadcast partner with you on the pregame show today. Tell me who joined you and what that was like.
My man, Chuck in Uniontown. He hasn't been here in 13 years, and it was so good to get him to the ballpark. And I know he's with Jason Mackey right now, the Post-Gazette. He's down in his suite. I'm going to try to stop down and see him. But obviously, he means a lot to our show. He means a lot to me personally. So glad that a number of people were able to make this happen. So hat tip to Jason, the Pirates in particular, who were so gracious. And he got to announce play ball here on the PA system, which was terrific, in addition to co-hosting with us on KDKA today.
That's sweet. Dan, really appreciate your time and your kindness towards Chuck. He means a lot to all of us that chimes in whenever we host. So take care, Dan. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks, Austin.
That's Dan Zangrilli, our Pirates pre- and post-game host at the ballpark right now as the Buccos are currently leading 6-0 against the Detroit Tigers. And we go now to Jeff Hathorn in Latrobe after TJ Watt just spoke. Jeff, good to talk to you. This is the first of many conversations we'll have over the next couple of weeks. What was the main takeaway from TJ?
That he knew he was going to get a deal done and that he was just playing a game. He said the two fingers in the Instagram post, the peace sign, that was as much to play with us as it was to negotiate. And he said he kind of sits back and watches and kind of laughs at all the stuff that's being said. But the main thing he said about the team is that he's excited about the changes, that he thinks the changes with this team are going to make them much better. And he smiled often. Obviously, when you're the highest paid non-quarterback in the league, that'll bring a lot of smiles. But he genuinely seemed excited about these new faces. And you remember, like, he hasn't even met Aaron Rodgers yet. Hadn't met him.
Do you think he was referring to Rodgers, or was he? Do you think he was referring to?
Referring to both sides of the ball.
Okay, so there wasn't like he wasn't pointing in a direction where like Rodgers specifically or Metcalf or adding Jalen Ramsey on his side.
No, in fact, he did a very good job of avoiding specific names and just kept saying the new faces, with the exception of Aaron, because That's a little bit different scenario, and that was the last question that we had. So, yeah, I mean, he also talked about potentially moving around and that, you know, the defense needs to play better down the stretch. And, you know, he made a comment about the fact that he hasn't won a playoff game and just kind of said, listen, we can talk about this all we want, but we just need to go out on the field and do it.
So he didn't make much of that or the situations behind it. It's just basically one of those back to the grind type of things. Why do you think he's not more outspoken about that 8-year run that he's been a part of?
I think he's talked about it a few times, and I think he knows when he discusses it, it gets a lot of traction. And I think he was trying to avoid national traction more than anything by discussing that. And he just kind of, you know, again, said, basically, we've discussed this. I know about it. The only thing that's going to change it is us going on the field and getting it done.
What was the most intriguing, fascinating thing that was said by some of the players that didn't have an organized presser when they were walking in?
And Jalen Ramsey was very coy about where he's going to play, which is interesting. Not that you expect him to say, and I think that's going to be a work in progress. That was something. I mean, Patrick Queen told us that the defense, I believe the term he used was sloughed off at the end of last year. And they can't have that happen. Like, part of these changes have to be not just the personnel, but they can't have these drop-offs. Of course, he's only been here for a year, but they can't have the drop-off that they had last year, and they can't have that go forward. Troy Faltano said he's 100%. He's going to be full go once camp starts. The OTAs and minicamp were great for him to build his confidence because he admitted that he was a little wary about his knee, and he said by the end of minicamp, when they had some guys pushing back, again, it's not a full game, that he feels really good about the knee and that he's just back to playing football. And obviously, he's going to be a huge part of that offensive line.
Did Broderick Jones talk?
He did not. He didn't come in at the time that we were up there. We were up there for about 3 hours. And there are other doors other than the door that we're allowed to go by. And I think a lot of guys actually came earlier and were already in the dorm, and we can't go over to the other side. So I'm guessing Broderick was one of those.
And Aaron Rodgers probably snuck in through the back door too.
Yeah. Needless to say, we did not talk to Aaron yet today. Probably won't happen today. Hopefully tomorrow after the first practice, you know, get a good feeling from him about what the vibe is like, what the environment is like. Hopefully he gets out there and unleashes some passes, because we haven't seen that from him. And we've seen him throw 10-yard outs. That's all we've seen. So it's not like it's a question mark because he's a rookie, but because he's in a Steelers uniform, it's a little different.
Jeff, great talking to you. We'll talk again soon from Latrobe.
Thanks, Austin.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. What's Cooking is brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Sunny and hot today and a high of 89. Ernie Mills and Benny Cunningham. Thanks to Tyler Kennedy. Thanks to Jeff Athorn, Mark Cabali, and Dan Zangrilli, and Sean Myers producing behind the glass. PM team up next on the Fan.